if one is not aware of why one should pray for America or any other country they may reside in or be a citizen of. It is suggested that one listen to the audio entitled America, Why Pray for America. It's a 19-minute audio. It outlines some very specific reasons, and those same reasons apply to every country. Also, if you are not familiar with the statement by Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 146, line 31, that states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, then it is suggested that you listen to the MP3, which is entitled Divine Metaphysics Matrix. It's 39 minutes, and it provides suggestions on how one may better understand how the qualities of God work together to open the path to healing. Also, the operators, which were described in the book of Revelation of the Bible as the city four square and explained by Mary Baker Eddy. So the audio is an introduction to how this all works together as a matrix, or one might say in music as an orchestra that performs a composition to bring about a beautiful performance. America. Two directly related topics are God and man. There are existing audios on both of those topics. A country is just like a big company. It's composed of people. The government is composed of people. So it's a matter of understanding what God is and what man is and what the relationship is between God and man. Everything is a tributary to those key points. They are subordinate. They're the children. The parents are the definition of God, definition of man, and realizing that God is the source, man is the manifestation, and the source includes the manifestation. So the relationship is always direct. There's no filtering. There's no fog, mist, or anything else that can obliterate the connection. The connection is direct. Any organization whatsoever, any association, any event, either involves people or the thoughts of people. And this, of course, would include universal belief. Universal belief is the belief of people. So everything boils down to the general understanding that there is God and there is God's manifestation. one of the first go-to places in science and health to find out about a topic is the glossary. And in the glossary, under the topic man, Mary Baker Eddy states that it is the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. Not partial, but the full representation of mind. And what does she say about mind? Mind is the only I, or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God. Not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God of whom man is the full and perfect expression. Deity, which outlines but is not outlined. So man is the full expression of all that. That is really comprehensive. So no matter how large of organization you're dealing with, even an association or an organization of many combined countries. In fact, they've been talking about a one-world government. Of course, the only one-world government there could be is the government of God, not some small group of what they consider elite men. They have no power to do anything. They can't perform or accomplish anything. All accomplishment is from God, from divine mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, not a small group of men or a large group of men or women. People cannot do anything of value. The only thing of value is done by the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite God. And of course, man reflects that ability, but the man that reflects that ability is the man that is reflecting God. God is perfect. God is spirit. There's nothing in there that I see that says human activity. Human activity is only a symbol of the divine activity if it reflects divine mind, if it reflects perfection. Not matter or a so-called mortal mind that has no power, no presence, or anything else. So the very first thing that one needs to get clear in thought is that there is only one government, and that government is not some self-selected. I mean, these guys are not even elected. They're self-selected. They've taken away the power to even vote for anything of significance from anyone who is following their grand one-world government plan. We can just forget about that. They are absolute fake news. This is fake news. The real news is the real fact, and that's called the Word in the City Four Square. There's a Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. So the Word is the fact. Absolutely no one can see the Word unless they have admitted that there is no life, truth, and intelligence in matter or mortal mind or electricity or any of the isms, hypnotism, spiritualism, mesmerism, any other kind of ism. So there has to be a recognition that there's no life, truth, or intelligence in matter, or in person, or in an individual. I don't care whether they are a democratically elected individual or a Nazi, such as what all these guys are in this one world government plan. Doesn't matter. There's no power in any person. Just like there's no life in a tree. The life of a tree is a symbol of what is underneath the tree. The back, what is behind the tree. Like Mary Baker Eddy says about vision, if one understood what was behind the eyes, then they would be able to see perfectly. The organ of the eyes is not what does the seeing. The belief that one has about the eyes, that has an impact on individual experience. But what really does the seeing is exactly what Mary Baker Eddy says in one of the definitions of God. God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Seeing. God is all-seeing. What is God? God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Mary Baker Eddy gives us many different definitions of God, depending on what angle you want to view God from. It's like a statue in a wonderful museum that is rotating, or it could be a stationary object that the statue is sitting on, and you can walk around it slowly. Every little degree that you move gives you a slightly different view of the statue. Well, that's the way God is. We can look at one little sliver and we can move or change our view just slightly and see a little different sliver. So there are infinite number of views of God depending on what we happen to be interested in and focusing on. But it's all God. It's all there. God is complete. And we see the completion of God depending on how much God we're looking at. So it's the same of everything in every experience. You know, what part of government are we looking at? What part of America are we looking at? Now, the thing about America that's important to understand is that Mary Baker Eddy stated that it was founded on the concept of freedom. That's why the Constitution talks about freedoms. The Constitution is not written for the purpose of giving people freedom. It is for the purpose of restricting government from taking the freedoms away from the innate freedom that is God-derived. That's the purpose of the Constitution. It's not restriction, except restriction on a man-made government. It's not restriction on the people. It's restriction on the politicians, the greed, and all that kind of mesmerism that tries to control a population that was born free. So, the important thing about America is that America was founded on the basis of freedom. And the ones that were the founding fathers came here to get away from the oppression and the suppression that they were experiencing in Europe. Everywhere. You know, the UK, France, Spain, Italy, everywhere. They had kings. They had people that were given the power, or they just took the power to make all decisions. And one of the beauties of King Solomon, you know, long time before America was founded, is that he went to God and asked God for the wisdom to govern his people justly. And it really worked, because when there was a woman that wanted to steal another woman's baby, he was directed to do things that would determine who the real mother was. And he says, okay, you guys both think you own the baby. You're telling me you both own the baby. Let's just cut the baby in half. And each one of you can have half. And of course, the real mother obviously stepped forward and say, give the baby to this woman. Because she wasn't willing to have the baby harmed. She would rather give up the baby than to have the baby harmed, let alone to be, you know, to be parted right down the middle. So that's basically what we want to ask ourselves when we are reviewing what is the meaning of these seven synonymous terms about God. What is God telling us? What does God say about justice, mercy, intelligence, wisdom, knowing, substance, spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, principle, system and structure, balance, harmony, life? How are we to be living our life? Are we going to just be lackadaisical, passive? Or are we going to be vivacious, full of life, and make that life productive, doing spiritual things, helping our neighbor, helping humanity, doing anything we can, like Jesus? I mean, Jesus was the great, as Murray Baker already says, he was the greatest man that ever trod the globe. He had only a foul word for one kind of evil. Well, of course, he didn't have a kind word for any evil, but it was the money changers. The people that were trying to make a profit out of a group of people gathering for the purpose of worshiping God. He threw over the money changers' tables. He didn't have a single bit of tolerance for them whatsoever. And yet, what has happened to the churches of today? There's probably a few exceptions out there, but generally speaking, there's a tremendous, tremendous majority of them seeking money. These mega churches, what kind of healing do they do? They're always soliciting money. Churches solicit money for forgiveness or for confession or whatever. They think that, they should get paid for someone confessing their sins and making some kind of an artificial forgiveness for it. There's only one forgiveness. Murray Baker Eddy makes plain. It's transformation. One man doesn't have the authority to forgive another one. We don't have the authority to forgive somebody that is really messing up in government. Mary Baker Eddy talks about enemies, and she says, who is thine enemy? In the article in Unity of Good, or in the booklet, Unity of Good. Who is thine enemy? Love your enemies is the title. She says, is it anyone other than who we think is our enemy? She's saying that it's a fabrication in our own thought. That's our enemy. And of course, we are our worst enemy, because that means that we are not disciplining our own consciousness. We're not doing any filtering. We're just saying, well, too bad. I'm going to go play tennis today, or whatever the sport is that one enjoys, golf, anything, whatever, swimming, going to a party, whatever one enjoys. That's what I'm going to do today. Mary Baker Eddy made strong demands on love, just like Moses was required to do when the magicians created a serpent. He had to have both the rod and the staff. He had to have the discipline and the support. Mary Baker Eddy says you've got to have the principle with the love. It's not a wishy-washy love. Well, with government, we can't love evil. But on the other hand, we have to impersonalize it. Not be thinking about a person. Chances are the person is being blackmailed, or they're just mesmerized, you know, attracted to money or power or whatever. But there's so much blackmail going on. You know, they get drugged up and they offer them all these immoral things. And then they're, you know, in hook, line, and sinker for life. Obviously, they didn't have a strong character, or they would have never gotten themselves in that situation. But the point is, blaming the individual does no good. They're not interested in listening to their population, because the elections are all rigged. You know, like was said a long time ago, I forget who was the statesman that stated this, but it said, it doesn't matter who wins the election, who counts the vote is what's important. Who's counting the vote? And in fact, many people that would like to be running for office cannot even get started because they are restricting who they want to be out there in the public that's going to be trying to change the world. And they don't want anybody, because they like the evil, the just corruption that's going on as it is. So we have to be very firm in our understanding about what man is, what God is, and the relationship. And any time that the thought occurs to us, oh, that corrupt politician, he's a real rascal, or maybe we even call him a rat, or whatever. It doesn't matter if they are a Nazi. So many of them are Nazis. You know, many, many years ago, we would chase them out of town on a rail. But now it seems to be a general thought that, oh, this is okay. Communism is okay. Totalitarianism is okay. No problem. We'll give all the authority to a few people over there in Europe and let them run everything. Their theme is that you will own nothing and be happy. That's their theme. Public. They publicly announce it. Well, that doesn't sound like freedom to me. That means that we have no freedom. We have to have an absolute firm conviction on what God is and what man is, and that God includes man because man is God's manifestation. Reflection. There's no separation. There can't be any separation between a source and its idea. I referred to a museum earlier. So you say you go to a museum and there's just this fantastic sculpture. I mean, really a masterpiece. Or look at some of the old master painters, you know, back in, you know, 500 years ago. They were real masters. But if they didn't perform the painting, they wouldn't be a master of anything. They might have the talent, but if they don't perform, they're not an artist. The same with us. If we learn what the definition of God is and we don't use it, if we learn what the definition of man is and we don't use it, if we don't reflect it, it's like Mary Baker Eddy. I think it was the 4th of July that there were some 2,000 people or something that visited her almost unannounced for a celebration out at her beautiful home in Pleasant View, Concord, New Hampshire. And I think it was Laura Sargent that was standing next to her when she was up there in the tower looking out over this big crowd, getting ready to say something to them in deference to the fact that they had all come there. And she says, "I look out over here at this crowd and I don't see a single Christian Scientist." Now, to her, a Christian Scientist, and of course she's the one that invented the word. Actually, I'm sure it was divine inspiration. But the term Christian Science, I mean, she's the father mother of it from a human standpoint. She's the discoverer of the Christ science that Jesus used and ended up performing all these miracles. They were considered miracles, but she proved that they were science. So she looks out there and says, "I don't see a single Christian Scientist." And that is further elaborated on because she was having a private meeting with a gentleman, one of her students. And she said, "Are you a Christian Scientist?" And before he could answer, she said, "What do you think or what do you do when you see a, you know, whatever circumstance out there walking in public and it's not perfection? It could be anything. Somebody falls down or there's an accident of some kind. Somebody and their horse," this of course was back when horse and buggy were the days, "and there's a horse that, you know, gets out of hand or something, causes a problem, or it could be somebody that looks ill. Somebody in a wheelchair or using a crutch to walk with, or it could be anything. Something that is not considered absolutely normal for a human being in their actions." You know, and she says, "Well, what do you think about? What do you do when you see this?" And he paused and finally said, "No, I'm not a Christian Scientist." See, he knew that a Christian Scientist, somebody that is really living up to the standard, that person needs to reverse what they are seeing and declare that what they are seeing with a human set of eyes is not reality. And it has no power over that person. That person cannot be injured. That person cannot be ill. Or this event cannot be in chaos. For this government cannot be doing things that are killing people, or whatever it is. If it's anything less than a God-derived idea of perfect God and perfect man and perfect universe and perfect harmony and everything else that describes what God and the perfect universe is, you know, think about heaven. If it's not heaven, then we have to take a stand individually at that moment. Not say, "Well, I'll take care of that when I get home." Stop what we're doing. And we have to give 100% attention to it. 100% focus. In fact, one of the things Mary Baker Eddy says about vision is she says, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" That is a very significant statement about vision. Jesus was able to do it and did it. Mary Baker Eddy was out shopping for something for her home with one of her household, and they had an appointment to go to this one particular place. I think it was chairs they were buying for Pleasant View. And after the meeting was over, her assistant that was with her, you know, it's amazing, but I think that was also Laura Sargent. Anyway, she was asked, she says, you know, you weren't paying any attention at all to the man that owns the store that was talking to us. It's like you were ignoring him. And she said, how could I? There was something terrible in his appearance. I don't know whether it was a big boil or something on his face. Something that was not normal that he was suffering from. And her attention was drawn to healing that. She stopped what she was doing. She wasn't interested in chairs or anything else. She didn't care what people thought about her. She knew that that had to be taken care of. And so that's what she did. She focused. So in her article on vision, and that's available for anyone that wants it. So in her article on vision, you know, she says, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? Period. Focus on healing. Focus on what God is, what man is, and what is the relationship. And every event, every organization, every corporation, every politician, every government is under the thumb of the focus if we are good enough at doing it. Mary Baker Eddy said that she could heal the entire world, change the whole world, if she had a group of students that would follow what she said, follow the Christ. And of course she said, follow me only as far as I follow the Christ. She never said, follow me as a person. She's saying, follow the concept that God is all in all. That God is the great I am, not me. There's no personal ego involved here. Follow the fact. And I was started to say about the fact or the word, what does the word stand for? We have to come to the point that we say we are willing to give up the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter because we've tried it. We've gone to the hilt. We've exhausted our energy with it. It's nothing but discord. You might have a moment of pleasure here or there, just like you might with human love or making a gift that's not anonymously, but you know, something where you're trying to get a big thank you for it. People give money for building a building in a university or a hospital or whatever to have their name on the building. Andrew Carnegie, when he was making a deal with Pullman on having a joint venture for creating the rails for the railroad. And the first question Pullman asked Andrew Carnegie is, what shall we call the name of the company? Andrew Carnegie, being a genius, with human psychology, he says, why, of course, the Pullman Car Company. And so they had the corporation. I think they were building railroad cars, actually, instead of, I don't know, maybe, whatever it was. But I think the the Pullman Car Company. So he was interested in his name being up there in bright lights. Andrew Carnegie was interested in getting the deal done. The same with one of the biggest businessmen of today. He wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. He said if he would have focused on the money that would be made from the deal, he probably would have never gotten any deals done. He was interested in the art of the deal. And everybody knows who I'm talking about. The art of the deal. He's built some of the most luxurious hotels and shopping facilities and golf courses around the world. I mean, they vote, you know, the people that use them vote for where's the best place they've ever stayed, or where's the best place they've ever played golf or whatever. Where's the best hotel I've ever lived in, or where's the best shopping that I've ever done in a hotel. And I mean, he's constantly the winner, number one, in so many places, so many locations around the world. And to make that happen, he had to deal with cultures, languages, attorneys, politicians, everybody, not to mention architects and engineers and, you know, suppliers of all kinds of things. Building permits, getting zoning changes. And he was dealing with all races and creeds. He didn't care whether they were white, black, green, yellow. You know, he just wanted to get the job done. He didn't have any prejudice against a certain color or certain race or certain ethnic background. He wanted workers. He wanted people that had the skill and people that would put out a good day's work. So he was after the deal, the art of the deal. We have to be after the art of the deal. If we want to have healing in government or relationship with a husband or a wife or children, city council, doesn't matter what it is. If we want to have harmony when we're driving the car, what is the art of the deal? Really two things. What is God? And what is man? Which includes the relationship between God and man. And do I have a clear enough understanding of that to know that harmony is the only way it can operate? Love, 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 love. If we are not loving the deal, which means nurturing it, which means that we are giving, 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 giving. Mary Baker Eddy said that Jesus, greatest man that ever walked on the earth. And why? He was the symbol of love. The symbol of love. Caring. Thinking good about others. Abide by the golden rule. Think about Corinthians. Henry Drummond wrote the booklet on the greatest thing in the world just from a few verses out of Corinthians. Mary Baker Eddy made the statement that she couldn't think of a thing to change. It was perfect. She said the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus enabled his divinity. So we have to start with the human. Are we doing everything possible humanly to be expressing love? I'm not talking about infatuation. I'm not talking about anything that is immoral, certainly not unethical. If you're married or you have a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, and there's a special day for them, are you doing something special to let them know you care about them and what they think about? A lot of people think that it's not right to celebrate someone's birthday. If it's important to that person, then you should be participating. You don't have to think about their age, but it's an important day for them. An anniversary. Yes, it's probably counting the years that someone's been married. Maybe it's yourself, maybe it's your wife or husband or whatever. Children have special days that mean something to them. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Veterans Day. Do you know somebody that suffered from the war, a war? Think of them on days that are special to them. 4th of July, that's important to a lot of people. Do we look at it from a spiritual standpoint? It's a celebration of freedom, supposedly. From a human standpoint, there's not much left of freedom, but that's only the view from a human level. We can stand for spiritual freedom, and no one can take it away from us. The beauty of what is being discussed here is that, number one, it's fact, and number two, it's omnipresent. So no matter where you are, whether you're in a line at a checkout counter shopping, whether you're in a car driving, whether you're at a sports event, whether you're visiting someone, doesn't matter what it is, if you see a need, you can immediately direct your attention. You can immediately focus on what needs to be tended to. You don't have to have a book with you. You don't have to have a recording to listen to. You don't have to have someone remind you. If you really are tuned in with wanting to be the reflection of God, you will automatically focus. You'll automatically change whatever you're doing and replace that with what needs to be done at the moment. And if you follow what Mary Baker Eddy says when she was asked, how can I advance most rapidly in Christian Science? She says, you study the letter and imbibe the spirit. Just knowing the letter won't do it. Just having the spirit won't do it. Jesus quoted when he was a young boy from the Bible. And of course, when he was a man as well. He knew the Bible. He knew the truth that was in whatever written records they had back in that day. He knew the letter. And obviously, he imbibed the spirit. So he had both. Mary Baker Eddy obviously had both. She was a phenomenal Bible scholar. I mean, there's few people outside of Noah Webster that would go to the research that she did to check out different languages. And I don't mean just Greek and Arabic and the three popular ones there that the Bible were translated from, Latin. But I mean, you know, Icelandic. Who do you know of that has checked out the Icelandic language? She checked that out to find out what they had to say about God. And it was good. Or maybe it was mind. I don't know. Anyway, the point is she checked out different languages, and so therefore she broadened her understanding of what she was looking up, because different languages had a different idea about it. So putting them all together gave her a more comprehensive understanding. So the next time we think about what terrible things, or we're faced with a news article or some barrage on the fake news that tries to convince the whole world of the same thing. I mean, when you've got every cable station and every newspaper and the social media that are dominated by the same thing, the same words, every broadcaster, you know that they're all given instructions. So if you listen to that, you'll get a barrage of fake news. So the next time you get a barrage of fake news, if you are still watching and listening to that stuff, it is the duty of the one hearing it, if they're a conscientious Christian Scientist or a conscientious person at all, to filter and focus, F and F, filter and focus, okay? F-I-L-T-E-R and F-O-C-U-S, filter and focus. Filter out what you know is very suspicious, and at least check it out if you don't just throw it directly in the shredder, and focus on what you know to be true. And if you learn the letter, you will get a good appreciation of what God is and what man is and the relationship. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Because everything filters down to that. Because that's what life is about. That's what life is about. If everyone does their duty, evil doesn't have a chance. The suggestion cannot get his foot in the door like a salesman, unscrupulous salesman, tries to get his foot in the door so you can't close it. Mary Baker Eddy was certainly around when they had telephones, but she would not permit a telephone to be in her home because she said that was an avenue of mortal mind. And of course, if anyone's had a phone in the last several decades, they know that they are just barraged with advertisements. You know, you can get on these no-call lists and so forth, and that sometimes works. But the point is that it's an avenue of mesmerism. You know, this subliminal advertising on a screen. You know, the television screen was used for this notoriously. They would flash things up there, and they'd be too fast for you to see them, but you would take it into consciousness. Automatically. Automatically. I mean, they might show something very attractive, and the person or the people would be wearing glasses. It's trying to embed in your thought that, you know, you're going to be wearing glasses sooner or later. Maybe you better go in now and get your eyes checked. And, you know, all these guys in the medical profession want regular checkups. Can you imagine our forefathers going to a doctor for a regular checkup to see if they needed something? Jesus never had any medicine man check him out. Anyway, that's an individual decision, but the point is that if you want to have a harmonious government, consider that part of your house being your consciousness. And your consciousness includes everything. not just what you're thinking, it's everything. It's your business, your profession, your family, you know, your wife, husband, children, parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, friends, enemies, you know. If you haven't understood what Mary Baker Eddy said about enemies, love your enemies, because it's only fabricated by the individual that thinks they have an enemy. Anyway, that's our home. Our home is our consciousness, because we experience what we think. We experience the thoughts that we entertain. So what thoughts do we want to entertain? Do we want to entertain thoughts about God and God's perfect manifestation, of which we are one? We are an individual manifestation. Is that what we want to occupy our thought with? Or do we want to think about gossip? Someone else. Oh, I wonder, geez, that's terrible, something happened to them. I wonder how they're doing. Well, we better be getting it squared away in our thought how they're doing. Not calling them up on the phone and say, hey, how you doing? Or did you get over that operation or that accident or whatever, you know? We better be getting it clear in thought. And whatever we get clear in thought, we will experience. We will experience. And if we see something bad and we don't correct it, we're subject to that. It may show up in a different way, but if we are accepting that accidents are real, then it'll, as Mary Baker Eddy said, it'll show up in the weakest part. If we don't focus on the right thing, in other words, what is God, what is man, the relationship, we don't focus on what is right, what is perfect, what is good and true, we will pay the penalty later, because we're leaving the door open. We're leaving the door open for an erroneous thought to influence us. So government. How do we take care of government? In individual consciousness. And we don't think about person. In fact, don't even think about place or thing. Person, place, or thing. Think about the absolute truth about what is God, what is man, what is the relationship. And any time a thought comes to one that is not a wholesome thought, I don't care what it is, if it's not a 100% God-like thought, we should immediately start reciting something that is godlike. Memorize some things. Or open your thought just from your study. I mean, you will remember. Everybody remembers tons of stuff. And if you recite something that you know is true, or that you're convinced, or that you're trying to get to that level to have it automatic, you know, recite it. Put it in consciousness. An army, one of the foreign armies, they were being the subject of mind control of their opposition. And their commanding officer said, think of the mathematical tables. You all know the mathematical tables. Think of the mathematical tables. You know, 2 + 2, 2 × 2, 2 × 3, 5 × 7. You know, 6 / 2, whatever. Think about the mathematical tables. And if you think about the mathematical tables, the other thoughts will go away. You will not be subject to mind control if you think about something that you know is true and you focus on it. Now, that's a very simple example. And a Christian Scientist knows something a lot more important than the mathematical tables that is true to try to prevent mind control. But that's what we need to do. We need to focus on something we know is true, and that will do it. That will solve it. That will eliminate the possibility of being controlled. A magician doesn't like a Christian Scientist being in the audience. In fact, I've seen the example of where they asked the audience, are there any Christian Scientists here? Because they know that that's not an easy case to crack, you know, for mass hypnotism. Because that's what they're basically doing. They're hypnotizing the audience so that they will see what they want them to see. I saw an example of a magician. This was on television many, many years ago when I watched television, which didn't last very long. But anyway, they were outside, and he had this big curtain, tall. I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 feet tall. And everybody was up close to it, so they couldn't see around it, or they couldn't see above it or anything else. And he hypnotized them. He opened the curtain and there was nothing there. Okay? Closed the curtain. He hypnotized them to believe something that is very hard to believe. Now, of course, today with all the technology, they can trick you. They could have a hologram there, and you know, instead of the real thing, and it looks like the real thing. But anyway, he did his abracadabra stuff, opened up the curtain, and there was a giant jet, passenger jet, sitting there. There was no plane that came in, no sound or anything else. And there it was, this huge passenger jet. In the article, Mr. Eustace did the introduction to it. It's called the Psychologist and the Magician. And this famous psychologist from Germany was going over to visit one of these guys from the East. You know, I don't know, one of the countries over there, the Eastern philosophies, where they're famous for their magicians. And so forth. And he went over there, and he met the magician at the dock. And he says, we need to go up to my home, which is up in the mountains, and I don't know, a several hour train ride to get up there and so forth. He said, but before we go, I need to do something. Would you give me a few minutes? And so he walked away, and he was out of sight. And when he was gone, the entire area, it had like the most unimaginable storm you could ever imagine. I mean, the ships were knocking around, and the water was splashing over the docks and everything, and I mean, it looked like the world was going to come to an end. And all of a sudden, the magician showed up, and it went away. And it was restored back to normal instantly. So that was just an example. Same thing that the airplane. You know, it was mental control, mind control. So, government, we have to focus. We have to focus on what is true. Focus on the absolute. We all have to do it. I wasn't here in Christ Jesus' era, so I didn't see him walk on the water. And I haven't seen anybody else walk on the water, including myself. So, we're all working out our own salvation. You know, we're just clawing away, trying to get above the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. And that's what we have to do. Never give up. Never quit. Never give in. You know all those good phrases. Just be perseverant and make sure that what we're persevering in is going down the right path and not ego or self-will or anything else. Not a path of fear or greed or anything except godlike activities. That has to be the focus. This is the end of this recording.